Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We are on holy ground. We are going to go over to Isaiah chapter 6. But as you turn there, I just want to give you some reason for that. For one of the things that we have before us today is our forgetfulness of the holiness of God. Of who God is. Why do we need to repent? And the things that we have been going through in the book of Matthew, and that we just read in Psalm 97. We will see much of this given in Isaiah's day when he has been preaching to a people who will not hear, to a people who will not understand. But yet they are called out, as the disciples are, to preach these things on the housetop, proclaiming the truth of God's word is that God is holy and there's no other like Him. This holiness that we have seen in Matthew as he is preparing his disciples to go out. The reason for repentance is that God is holy. The reasons for repentance is the lack of reverence to this thrice holy God. So they are to go out and proclaim this truth, knowing that God is holy, just, and right. That is, God is also merciful, granting repentance to His chosen ones. That being said, is the reason for repentance. Until we experience the presence of God, we will never look upon this thrice holy God. So the title to the message as we go over to Isaiah chapter 6 is for us, remembering the holiness of God. Remembering the holiness of God. It's also remembering the throne room experience that we will see here. So if you would, if you have your sword, your word, God's word in your hand, turn with me in Isaiah chapter 6 and stand with me to reading of this word. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two He covered His face, and two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. One cried out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And then the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of Him who called out. While the temple was filling with smoke, then said I, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken off the altar with tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." And I'll continue to read. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell these people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. rendered the heart of these people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses without people, and the land utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning, like a terebinth tree, terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is the stump. Let us pray. Father, Lord, may your house be filled with your presence. May your house be filled with trembling. May your house be filled with repentance and mourning over our sin. Even though we have been ushered in through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this scripture is never to be thrown away. It is always to be remembered that when we encounter this thrice holy God of the scripture, we are changed forevermore. So, Father, so unprepared as I am, so blank-minded at this moment, I pray, Lord, as I stand here in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that you would preach through me what we as a people must hear and must remember is your splendor, your majesty of your holiness. Again, Father, I say this is too high and holy for me. We that are in this church at this present time are standing on holy ground. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would do a work here. That we would remember that this is your house and we are your people. And this is the most important thing that we need to concern ourselves about today, is how glorious, how holy, how true to your word that you are. Father, help us. Because we cannot understand without you, without the Holy Spirit. It must be you. Your word says, Lord, if anybody lack wisdom, ask of you, you give it to us freely. So, Father, we plead with you to make this theophany a reality in our lives, that we may leave here today knowing that we have been in the presence of a holy God, the one true God. Now, Father, crush our hard-headedness, our stubbornness, our selfishness. Crush it all. Do whatever it takes, Father, that we may see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and worship you in your beauty. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. King Uzziah was a man that, as long as he obeyed the Lord prospered. Isaiah was a man who was having to preach against a nation that forgot the holiness of God. Having to preach how serious it is at this very moment that you do nothing but pay attention. That you do nothing else but hear what the word of the Lord of God has to say. That you cast away everything that you may hear as we approach this scripture. There's many things in here. I titled it several things, and I gave you one, remembering the holiness of God, the throne room experience, His holiness. And as we approach this thrice holy God, we are to remember this in our lives every day. Not just today, but we are to be a people that are marked out by the power of God and His holiness. When the holiness of God comes into your life, when the holiness of God has changed you from everything, you set up straight, you open up the Word of God, and you look and attentive to the Word of God and all that He has to say, and nothing else matters except hearing from this God. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Nothing else matters. But to leave here blind, deaf, dead, will be your judgment. King Uzziah was made king at the age of 16. He reigned for 52 years, and everything he touched the Lord blessed as he continued to look upon the Lord. He built the cities. He built the commerce was good. The livestock was good. Everything was happening. He was establishing a great name for himself, King Uzziah. There's a reason why it starts in the year of King Uzziah's death. And the year of King Uzziah's death marks a point that this man got filled up with the things of the world. He became proud. He was going to worship God his way. That's how he became prideful. He went in, as we see in 2 Chronicles 26. You could read it if you like. I was thinking about reading it, but I think I'll just give it to you, and you can read it later. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 16 through 22. The priest, King Uzziah, decided he was going to worship God his way, so he come piling in through there where the altar was, everything was laid out, where the priest would give an altar, where the priest would worship. Worthy of worship. Worship God as He has ordained in Scripture for that to happen. King Uzziah thought that he was greater than this, that he could walk in and just plow everybody out of the way and offer incense to the Lord. And they told him to get out. This is not for you. But yet he went anyway. He went because he was going to worship God his way. Now we've got to be very careful today that we're not worshiping God our way. We're worshiping God His way in spirit, and in truth. Those will never be separated. You can't have one without the other. So what he did, he pushed his way through and all his pride, his arrogance, his selfishness. The Lord, he went into the presence of the holiness of God, into the area of the beginning of the presence of the holiness of God. What had happened, the Lord struck him with leprosy. He didn't die then. He got kicked out of the camp at that time. So everything that the people have known, the times were great. The times were wonderful. The Lord was blessing the people by being obedient unto the word until we forget that God is holy. Now Jesus Christ is thrice holy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are equally holy. Now some has put this into perspective of holy, holy, holy speaks of the Trinity, and I have an issue with that. But one of the things that's going to happen today, you're going to be confronted with the holiness of God, or you're going to walk out here the same. You're going to be confronted with the thrice holy God that says that when we forget His holiness, right, because of the pride and everything else, we lose our way to worship Him. He will not receive our worship if we are doing it our way. The Spirit of truth, you got to have the Spirit of God. You have to be born of God. You have to be born again, born the second time into His family. And He never throws out His word but the second part. The Spirit and truth. And the truth is here. We don't get to walk into this house with more reverence to a courtroom than we do the Lord's house. There's many things that they would stop you if you went into the courtroom of God, like we were going to be entering here. They would stop you in the courthouse for you to take off that hat, for you to straighten whatever it is that's on you up at the time. You would enter into the courtroom of God, right? The courtroom of this judge. You would enter into this judge with respect. That's what the law will say to you at the front door. They're not going to let you dishonor the judge. Amen? How much more should this be for us in this God that we have come to know? Uzziah spent the rest of his days outside. But one thing I do want you to know, that he spent the rest of his days outside, and that would be the year, basically, when King Uzziah died. But one thing I do want to let you understand, help that you help by the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to understand. He wanted to worship God His way, which caused this separation. The second part that we see, we said, well, that's not fair. The same people that He pushed through, Nadab and Abihu, which that was a set across for them to do what Uzziah went in to do, that was set out for them. Those same two boys ended up doing what? Tried to worship God their own way. They offered up a strange fire, and God struck them dead. Amen? The holiness of God is nothing to play with. The holiness of God should capture our mind. And therefore be changed forevermore. There's going to be a confrontation here today. Amen? Or there has been. Or there's going to be a rejuvenating power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives when we enter into this courtroom of God. Holy, holy, holy. Praise the Lord for that. Nadab and Abihu opened up and offered a strange fire unto the Lord, and the Lord struck them dead. Again in worship, in the New Testament, I believe, you know, let me just refrain from saying that. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to God, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and the Lord struck them dead in worship. In the giving of their tithe and offering. We see that the three that we have laid out, Uzziah usurped the authority of the priest to worship. He's dead. Nadab and Abihu tried to worship God their way, just like Uzziah did. They're dead. Ananias and Sapphira lied in worship, and they're dead. And we have a lot of things that's happening here today. The Bible says they honor me with their lips. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so we see plainly in Scripture that the Lord wants us to remember the beauty of His holiness forevermore. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Now, if we were to live before God in His omnipresence, and we live before God in His pure holiness, and we actually believe that God is with us, and not only that, He knows our mind, He knows everything about us, we are approaching the holiness of God, and we're getting ready to look at what this means. As in Matthew, we see here, it says in Isaiah 40, verse 9, it says, "Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, hear of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." Amen. The God of our God, the God that's of our Bible, the God that's in our hearts, dwelling in us, is the God of holiness. We should tremble at the thought through the mercy of God. How big is your God? Because a lot of times we think, even act out, that if God is holy, He doesn't care how bad I sin. Matter of fact, I don't care. That's the God that you do not know of in the Bible. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I've used this illustration many times, but it feels fitting right now to use it. On the way here, I had a flat tire, got out, changed the tire. And when I was changing the tire, I went out in the middle of the road and got the lug nut, because the lug nut went out there, and I got it, put it on back on the car and put everything back together. But while I was out there in the middle of the road, I'm sorry, I missed a very important part. While I was out there in the middle of the road, an 18-wheel logging truck ran me over. But then I put the tire back on the truck, and now I'm here. Will you believe me? You would say no. And I would say, why? Because you say logically that you cannot come in contact with something that big and not be changed. Amen? I'm here to tell you that God has not grown smaller than a logging truck. When He runs you over by the power of His Holy Spirit, you're changed. You're changed by the power of God. And you look upon this thrice holy God. We look upon this God. And the problem that we have today is that it's just about your best life now. But here's our problem. Our problem is that God is holy. So there's two parts to this confrontation. And when you think about, have I forgotten the holiness of God? Have I forgotten who God is? What does my life look like? Do I care at all that I've sinned against God? Do I have any conscience at all about that? What do I think about this God? Does it matter to me that my mind's 100? Does it matter to me that my mind's 100 miles away from here and I'm not here? I'm just here and present. I mean, He ought to be happy that I darkened the doors. He's not. A.W. Tozer said this: what comes to the mind of a man when he thinks about God is the most important thing about him. So gauge yourself right now. When you just gave this thought about God, because I'm going to tell you what happens. A low view of God, ungodly life, living, no effect. A high view of Scripture is going to give you a high view of God. It's going to give you a high view of living. Amen. Unto the Lord, this God, this thrice holy God, we're going to look unto Him. This is the evidence that you come to know Him, is that you look upon Him and you have a life set out, cut, separate into the holiness of God. Our view of Him is where it comes down to. Remembering the holiness of our God. I saw the Lord. Now think about Isaiah for just a minute. He goes to the palace. He's going to the palace where the king once sat. He walks in there, and when he walks in there, he's looking at an empty throne, because the king is not there anymore. There's nobody occupying the throne. Then God brings him into the real throne room. God brings him into a throne room when we have a king that's from everlasting to everlasting, and he will always be sitting on his throne, and he will not compromise himself for us. But he does make a way. Praise the Lord for that. But our view of him has to be changed. Why? Because we see this God, this theophany, this Christophany, as we see a vision of Christ. Now he sees the authority sitting on God is sovereign. How many believe that God is sovereign? Every one of you would say that. How many of you complained this week? So you're saying God's not sovereign. So we need to be settled in who this God is. We may not understand everything, but we have to be careful how we act before this God. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with his train of his robe filling the temple. I saw the Lord lofty and exalted, the transcendency of Christ. The transcendency of Christ. There's nothing higher than God. There's nothing even comes equal with God. The seraphim are standing in attention. They're not above him, as the wording would be said here, but they are ready to stand in attention. They are at attention, beckoning his every call. We will get there in just a minute, but I want you to understand that when we look upon this God, this Adonai, this Yahweh, as we will see, holy, 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 is the Lord of hosts. We see this God, our God, that comes out of the Bible, that comes into our hearts, our lives, and changes everything about us, because our problem is not sin. Our problem is our unholiness of who we are in His holiness. Therefore, we have a confrontation with Him. The evidence that you come to know Him is that something happens. This throne room. In Isaiah 66 says this, verse 2 says, my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declared the Lord. But to this one I look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and trembles at his word, at the words of God. We see our view of him. Then we go on and we see the exaltedness, the transcendency. We see the train of his robe filling the temple. Filling the temple. The train of his robe filling the temple. Now here's the thing with this, is that when a king, the more authority they had, the more sovereignty that the actual earthly king would have, the more royalty he had, the longer his train. Okay? So the longer his train, the more important he was. Now going back over to this, he relates this in this way right here. The train of his temple filling the temple. The train of his robe filling the temple. Right? What is this? We're talking about the majesty of God. We talk about the holiness of God. His train never has an end to it. It's filling the temple with the presence of God Almighty. Amen? What happens here? We see the mercy of God. We see His train filling the temple. There's nothing holier. There's nothing more splendorous than Christ Himself. Amen? So what do you think about Christ? His robe, the bottom of his train, just the bottom, spilling the temple as Isaiah is having a vision of God. From everlasting to everlasting is our God. And His train is still filling the temple with His glory, His majesty of who He is. Then we go to the holiest creature ever made. The holiest creature ever made. Verse 2. Seraphim stood above Him. Each having six wings, two he covered his face, and two he covered his feet, and two he flew. And we stop there to see the seraphim, the burning ones. But I want you to know, in this all this description right here, never describes God. Because you can't describe God. It's the otherness of God. What is God like? There's nothing to compare Him with. Amen? That's good news. What is God like? Well, He is like. We have some illustrations in there, but it's just a like, but much more than that, that we have in the book of Revelation, as well as Joshua and Daniel and so on and so forth. But what is God like? And may I ask, what is God like to you? Because you're going to be here worshiping an idol this very moment, or you're going to be worshiping the true God of the Bible. If you look upon these words right here, we look at the most holiest thing ever made. Why do I say that? Because they're the closest thing to the throne. And look what happens to them. They stood above Him, each having six wings that covered their face. These burning ones, seraphim means burning ones. These seraphim are leading in worship. They're standing. The seraphims are flying at the same time. They're doing all these things. They are the divine throne and agents of the divine judgments and the guardian of the thrones. We see that Adam and Eve were kicked out, and they kicked them out with the sense of the fire, the flaming fire of the cherubim at that time. So we see that God uses fire, but we see that there's no description of God, but there are descriptions of the things around Him. The burning ones, He gives a description. It has six wings. As holy as they are, they cannot even look upon God. They cannot even fathom to look upon God. They covered their face. They covered their face. Oh Lord. They covered face. The most holy thing ever made covered their face. The incomprehensibleness of God. Number two, He covered His feet. In the feet, we see that they're created. They recognize that they're a created being. God is not created. Your idol, you have created. The God of the Bible is not created at all. He is from everlasting to everlasting. This is a God that is holy. We see they covered their feet. We know there are times where Moses, when he's standing on holy ground, the Lord spoke to him through the fire. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. See, this is all in reverence of this God that comes out of the Bible. If you rather be somewhere else right now, be afraid. Be very afraid. If you're rejoicing, rejoice. We see the other here that two had covered His feet, two He flew. At the command of God, at the things that God would have Him do, right, He flew. He flew to do the business of God. We see the mercy and the grace of God, and here He's ready to do whatever God has called Him to do. And that should be us. Whatever God has called us to do, besides in the sense of you being holy, you being separate from all the things of this world, and being satisfied and enjoying Him and all the things that He has placed in your life, that you enjoy Him more than anything, but you're ready. Whatever the Lord has for you to do, you're ready to go. Whatever the cost, you're ready to go. Are we? And it goes on, and it talks about the worship. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." That's wonderful. Because we have done many horrible things with that word. We blot out, "Holy cow," blurt out, "Holy cow," "Holy this," "Holy that," "Holy cheese," "Holy macaroni," and all this other nonsense. God is holy, holier holiest. This is superlative. There's nothing as holy as God. We are to remember true worship. What it means to look upon this God, holy, holier, holiest, Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. We see that also in Romans chapter 1, and we see that they are without excuse in Romans chapter 1, just the same as they are without excuse here, as Isaiah has been preaching, the holiness of God, and that we should tremble at the thought of God being in His presence with our unholiness. Amen? So we see plainly in Scripture, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now, what does that word holy mean to you? Amen. It's the transcendency of God. It's the holiness of God that's far above. This Yahweh, the I am who I am. Holy, holier, holiest is the Lord of hosts, who's the Lord or Yahweh. The whole earth is full of His glory. Me and Karen was ever go to West Virginia this past week and seen a lot of God's glory panned out throughout the mountains and just the valleys and everything else. Wonderful, wonderful glory. And knowing that we knew the Lord, but there are people that are roaming about this world that have no idea who God is. There are people that are sitting in the church that have no idea who God is, because they've never trembled at His word. They've never experienced the throne room experience. They never looked upon the holiness of God. Now listen, that this worship what took place here in the presence of God, as this Tiffany is going in, a response of holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts Almighty, the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of His glory. It's a Tiffany back and forth. This thing is all the rest of their lives, which never end. Amen. Because they're with the presence of God and forevermore. They're holy, 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 holy. They're singing it back and forth. What a song. We sang that song today. We didn't even come close to this song. But we see the mercy of God and Him showing us His holiness. True worship is recognizing who this God is. True worship is looking through His Word and enjoying God. Now what happens at this worship, we see in verse 4, it says, in the foundation of the threshold trembled at the voice of Him who called out. The whole temple was filling with smoke. Then said I, we see the whole response of that. We see what happens at this kind of worship right here is that the place trembles. We tremble in the presence of God. The tremble at the voice of Him who called out. The temple was filling with smoke. The house trembled in the presence of God. Let me ask you a question. When is the very last time you trembled before God? Ever? Or have you forgotten that? The problem is that we have today is that it's just joke. Just a thing we do. We don't tremble at His Word. It doesn't bother us a bit how we approach His house. Doesn't bother us a bit how we approach who He is. It doesn't bother us a bit at all. Yet we don't even come. But I tell you, true worship, the foundations of your life will shake in the presence of God, will tremble at this God. Tremble at this God. Have you ever experienced trembling before this thrice holy God? Those that, there's two applications that go here, two principles here. We could say that Isaiah is actually going into the ministry even deeper at this point right here, but it's also a salvific view of it, salvation, the day that you trembled before God is the day that you came into the kingdom of God. Amen. And you've been trembling ever since. Why? Not because we have a horrible fear of losing our salvation. We fear the Lord because God said this is right. We fear Him. We reverence Him. He is thrice holy. Nothing else will we like or compromise about who He is in our lives. Why? Because He's been so gracious to me. Because He's shown His Word. His Word lighted my heart, and the light shone in, and the place shook in the presence of God, and I called upon the name of the Lord, and He brought me into His kingdom. Amen? The other one is that we've forgotten who God is. We trembled once, but we haven't trembled since. Right in Exodus 19, we see that the people wanted to talk to God themselves. So Moses got that lined up. And as God started approaching in His thunderings and lightnings, and the approach of the holy mount of Mount Sinai at the base, the whole mountain shook at the presence of God. Right? I mean, we see inanimate things, the foundations. We see the post, the whole room, the whole sanctuary, everything tremble except for us. These things don't even have any blood pumping through them, and they're trembling, and it's trembling at the presence of God. The mountain trembling in the presence of God. And then the people said, "No, Moses, no, Moses, you speak for us. We can't handle it." Then we go on to the next chapters, the giving of the holy law of the Ten Commandments, where the earthquake, the cloud came in the presence of God came. The Shekinah glory of God came down. We also see it another time, the day when after Jesus was on the cross and He died upon the cross, and the clouds came and the thunders came and the earthquake came, and the Shekinah glory of God came down, and holy justice was paid in full on Christ. And He trembled, the world trembled in the presence of God. Do we tremble at all? In a holy reverence unto God, yes. But what happens after this? Look, what happens? I'll begin back in verse 3. One called out to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundation and thresholds tremble at the voice of whom He called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then said I," here's your response, "woe is me. Woe is me." Do you remember that throne room experience? Have you ever experienced the throne room experience? Have you ever experienced that? Because from that point on, you've been wanting to get back in ever since. The day that you come to salvation, it was that throne room experience when judgment was paid out. Where did you want to go? You want to get back into the presence of God. And from the rest of this time, we see Romans chapter 7 and forevermore until we are our sanctification work is done before God. We are wanting to get back into the throne room of God. Now, how is that done? Well, it starts with you. It starts with this. As our response to His holiness, "woe is me, for I am ruined. I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." Yahweh, I am the I am. Woe is me. See, that's what happens. Woe is me. That's what happens when you look upon your life and look upon this last week and you think about all the things that you laughed at. which were ungodly, all the unholy things that you did, which were ungodly. Right now, we pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Being born of a child of God or not being born of a child of God, conviction starts as low as me. Because of the presence of God is ever before me in His holiness, I cannot stand. I cannot withstand. I cannot stand in His presence without the robe of righteousness applied to me. Woe is me. See, right now you are either thinking about, woe is me, have I ever felt this? And you have. But it seems so far away from you. Because everything else that has been brought into your lives and pulls you away from Him. But your desire is to get back into this throne room. Your desire is to know the presence of God. Your desire is to get back in there, kick all this other stuff off, and get back into the presence of God. And the other one is, woe is me. I don't know this God. I have no reverence to Him. I will not bow a knee to Him. I will not look after the Word of God with Him, for Him. I don't know who this God is, and I really don't care. Woe is you that are feeling that. Woe is you. But woe unto us in this sense, the holiness of God. The holiness of God is ever before us. We have to remember the holiness of God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's His holiness, mind you, it's not ours. It's His holiness, and we are to be a people that's marked out with holiness. We don't laugh at the same jokes that the world laughs at. We don't do the same things that the world does. Anything that brings our attention off of the Lord, we don't do. Why? Because we want to have that throne room experience the rest of our lives. Amen? Each week we pull away. Each day that we're not in the house of the Lord. Each day we're not in the Word of God. Each day that we're not fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters. Each day that we have separated from the things of God. Each day we feel this, woe is me. That's a mark upon your life. Woe is me. Because I don't know if my unconverted people that are around me know the difference between me and them. Woe is me that there's no holiness about my life. Woe is me. Because what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What a wonderful thought. We are looking at the written Word of God before us. And only God could give the increase of who He is and the holiness of who He is. We see that the great mercy of God is that the conviction that He says when we look at this, oh Lord, our life now is, oh Lord, I want to worship You truly in the beauty of Your holiness. But I fall so short of that. That's a mark that you even care. Some don't even care. Some don't even care. But if you care, it's the gift of repentance that comes with this next part. Verse 6. One of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with the tongs. He touched my mouth, and with it he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin forgiven. Isn't that wonderful? But here's the painfulness. Now, you normally do this in jail, and I would ask if they ever burn a cigarette, burn their lips with a cigarette, right? Or burn their lips with something else, and we all know what the something else is, right? Burn their lips, and it really hurts when you burn your lips with fire. Now, think about the seraphim who, the burning one, the coal of this fire, the burning coal of this, he didn't take it in his hand. He used the tongs to take it off of there. Amen? Says one of the seraphim flew and with burning coal in his hand, and he had taken it from the altar with what? Tongs. Too holy and righteous for him. The burning one. We still don't have a picture of God except His holiness. No description of God. That's good. You know what we would do? We would try to draw pictures of Him. We would try to worship an image. We would try to do these things. I praise God that He didn't give us something like that. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is thrice holy. So the Holy One's taken off. This is a picture of that perfect sacrifice of Christ, the burning of the cross. Right? The torment that was done at the cross. The Shekinah glory coming down and world trembling while the holy justice was poured out on His Son. And that propitiation was satisfied. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen? Satisfied. That holy wrath of God's justice satisfied through Christ. That's wonderful. Now we have just moved from the have to the want to. We don't have to come to church. You're right. But the want to is so strong, I have to. We don't have to have fellowship with the brethren. You're right. But the want to is so strong, I have to. We don't have to read the Word of God. You're right. But the want to is so strong, I have to. This is where I see God at. I have fellowship with the brethren. This thing has changed my life. He touched me on my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin forgiven." That's His response to us. We tremble at our response to Him, and His response to us is what? He paid the penalty. He paid the penalty on the altar. The burning of His holiness ever satisfied. He paid the penalty that we may go free. He paid the penalty that we may worship the otherness of God. God is not like anything here. He's the otherness. Is beyond our comprehension. But this is what has us tremble. This is what has us walking in the things of the Lord. This is what has us fearing Him. Fearing Him is a good word. Kind of like doctrine. Nobody likes it. It's curse word or something. It's not. But the Bible says we're to be a God-fearing people. You fear the Lord? Praise the Lord. It's God to put that fear in you. Amen? And He will correct you. If you belong to Him at all. If not, you could go on about your business and not faze you a bit. Be afraid. But God has supplied a way right here. The burning of the lips. Because what comes out of there comes from the heart. The iniquity is taken away as far as the east is to the west. We have just entered into the want to. Now, what is it that you really want to do right now? Well, most of the time right now, about this time, especially if I get up here and start preaching, at the end of this right here, the only thing that we have on our minds is where we're going to eat at. I know, and I'm guilty of it, because sometimes it's my thought. Where are we eating? And I say that in a way that should condemn us, should strengthen us. There's nothing more that I want than God. There's nothing more that I want than to enjoy the presence of God. Is it? We also see the commission here. I'm not going to go into that. Well, maybe I'll just 2-3 points real quick. Like, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I." You've already said that the day you became a Christian. Here am I, Lord. Where Romans 12:1-2 is reality. living a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. What is he supposed to go preach about? He's going to go preach about the holiness of God and why we need repentance and why we have that through Jesus Christ. But he's going to say also, Lord, it's kind of like the commission that was given to the apostles, right? And they didn't say it, but it's kind of in there. It's how long, Lord? How long will I keep preaching to these people, wherever it may be? How long, Lord, will I keep preaching and no one hear? How long will nobody not tremble at your word? How long will I have to do this? And what happens? Until everything is ruined. But I'll have my holy seed, which is in the stump, which is a part of the last verse. So we see plainly, there's so many different ways. We see the confrontation, the convulsion, the conviction, the commission, and the otherness of God in the scripture that we have gone through today. Now, grant you, there's so much more in it than what I was pulled out. We see how we should have a holy reverence in our approach to God, in our view of Him, in our worship of Him, in our response of Him. Amen? These are the things, if we have any kind of reality of who God is today, right? This is, we will be marked out in the holiness of God, our approach, our view, our worship, our response. Then this is the love. This is the love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. As it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though our sins be as scarlet, they may be white as snow. Though they may be as red as crimson, they'd be like wool. If you can sin and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so gracious. As we think about this text that we had before us today, Lord, help us, Lord, to answer the question. Do I tremble at your word at all? Do I desire the throne room experience at all? Lord, there's so many things that has pulling our minds away from work to family and everything else that's pulled in between there. We pray, Lord, that you would increase our love, our desire for you, desire for your presence. Lord, how did I get here? At times we feel so far away from you, Lord, because of the busyness of this world. We know what it takes, Lord, to get back into the throne room, and that is to be honest with ourselves. Is that we have done more than just fallen short of your glory. We have insulted your holy name. So, Father, we pray for those that are longing for the throne room presence of our God. Give the increase. We pray for the ones that are hearing this by video, Facebook, or whoever your sovereign hands puts before them, that they may consider what it means to be in this throne room. What it means to look upon this thrice holy God in our sinful state. So, Father, we pray that there will be convulsions, trembling before you. Lord, have mercy on our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.